Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Cindy S. Solomon coming to you today on June 25th with the Global Product Management Talk. I'm delighted to join you today to discuss two recent books about business models with Therese Padilla, who is president and co-founder of the AIPMM.
Hi there, Cindy.
Hi, Therese. Thank you, by the way, to the AIPMM for sponsoring this week's talk. The Association of International Product Marketing and Management, founded in 1998, promotes worldwide excellence in product management education and provides value to its individual members, corporate members, and sponsors by providing training, education, certification, and professional networking opportunities. The AIPMM's seven-phase product lifecycle framework is a vendor-independent product management and product marketing standard that takes into account best practices used in a wide range of companies and industries. This ensures that the most modern and up-to-date challenges faced in product management and product marketing are addressed for today's environment. The framework is part of the AIPMM product body of knowledge, ProdBoc, that was developed with input from over 50 experts and endorsed by more than half a dozen consulting companies. The framework includes seven distinct product phases from conceived to end of life and covers all aspects during the entire product life cycle. Thank you to our sponsor. You have joined us today at the Global Product Management Talk, which is curated for passionate product professionals and business owners who want to teach, learn, and network about what it takes to produce successful products. Everyone is invited to join in on Twitter using the hashtag PRODMGMTTALK. Visit our website at PRODMGMTTALK.com, and you can listen in on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us at www.blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK to get reminders of our weekly talk. Today, Therese Padilla is leading us in discussing these two books on the subject of business models. Product managers as well as business owners and entrepreneurs must constantly be learning in order to incorporate new trends and methodologies, provide guidance so their products adapt to the newest emerging technologies, cope with market fluctuations, and continuously update product roadmap plans as their products progress through the stages in the product lifecycle process. Business model principles include customer value propositions, profit formulas, and key resources and processes that are required to deliver successful products and deliver on customer promises. The two books that we are discussing that shed light on business model implementation are Business Model Renewal, How to Grow and Prosper by Defying Best Practices and Reinventing Your Strategy by Linda Gorshels, and Business Model Generation, A Handbook for Visionaries, Game Changers, and Challenges, and Challengers by Alexander Osterwalder and Yves Pinheiro. So I'm delighted that Therese Padilla is joining us. Let me tell you a little bit about Therese. She's president of the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. She's a product management professional with broad experience in all areas of product development and management, including consumer products, enterprise software and startups, and large corporate environments. She created the first product management certification program at the AIPMM, which she co-founded in 1998. I'm also delighted to welcome back Adrian Tan of BrainMate in Australia, who is our co-host today.
Hi, Cindy. Hi, Therese.
Hi, Adrian. Almost done. Adrian left corporate life in 2004 to explore what life had to offer. During her journey, Adrian saw an opportunity to offer on-tap product management services to companies that wanted to develop and launch fabulous products. BrainMates was subsequently conceived over a cup of hot chocolate with Nick Koster. I didn't know that detail. Adrian is not only passionate about developing new media products, but loves managing and steering the BrainMates business towards bigger and better things. Okay, so, and I am Cindy F. Solomon, by the way, founder of the Global Product Management Talk, also the organizer of Startup Product Talk San Francisco. You can find out about me at www.cindyfsolomonallos.com. Okay, so now I'd like to turn it over to Therese and Adrian to give us some context about why these books, what's important about product, about business models to product managers, and everything else. Take it away, Therese and Adrian.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for an introduction, Cindy. I'm really excited to be talking about business model generation because we use, or we refer to the book quite a lot. So I'll be interested in understanding, you know, what you like about the books, Therese, both the books, Business Model Generation and Business Model Renewal.
Well, you know, we use the Business Model Generator also, and we've adapted it in a couple of ways, but I'll talk about that, how we adapted it a little bit later. But just to answer your first question is, how do I like these books? I think these books are important books for product managers to have on their desk. Particularly, I'm really fond of the Business Model Generator or Generation. Yeah, the Generation book. I think it's a generator too, but the Generation book. But I also like Linda Gorsuch's book. It just recently came out. I think it came out about 4 months ago, and I've been using the Business Moderation book for I think about a year now, it seems. So it was nice to see that Linda, who's more of the traditional product management guru, if you will, or thought leader, took this topic and added her sort of brand of product management perspective or executive management perspective, and then pulled in a lot of different practitioners, people out there working in the trenches, got their opinion on business models, how it's used. And the whole reason I'm really always interested in these books on business model. There's quite a few others, but I picked these two as sort of the key, is because business models are fundamental to a company. And because you only get money two ways, right? You get money from the customer, or you get money from borrowing the money. Borrowing the money is one way, you know, that's a business model, being in the perpetual startup mode, always getting your next round of financing. That's a business model. It's not a good one. It's not a sustainable one. Mm-hmm. The one where you go out to your customers and actually have customers buying what you're selling, those are where the more interesting business models lie. And I think sometimes people forget to put that into their equation on their product plans of what's our model. You know, they don't ask that fundamental question: is what is our business model?
Right. How do you extract value from your customer base, essentially?
Right. Right. So the reason I liked the Business Model Generation book is because it's easy to use. It makes sense, and it's almost a paint by numbers business model generator.
Yeah, it's beautifully done. It's beautifully put together. The visual, I guess, the visuals are so impactful that it makes it very easy to use.
Right, right. There was only like a couple of places where, like, on the fundamental definition of a business model, I just a little bit disagreed with them. They see something like it's a business model is a, in their mind, it describes a rationale of how an organization creates, delivers, and captures value. And I thought that they needed to tweak that just a little to make it a more accurate description. I think it's a business model describes the rationale of how an organization delivers and then or create. I'm sorry, it captures, create, and then deliver the value. And I think that's the steps in the process. But other than that, that's what it is. It's actually capturing that value. And then creating the value proposition, creating the value, and then delivering it to the customer.
Right. And in your opinion, or in your definition, what does capture mean? Because I think we might have a very different idea about what capture.
Yeah. Well, I think capture is that process of understanding the and so that's why I think it comes before. It might very well be that it comes afterwards, but to me it's capturing that essence of and how it appeals to them and how they're, because you never really capture the customer, they really capture you.
Right. I guess for me, capture in essence means extract, that once you've created and delivered some value, capture would for me be extracting that value from the customer. So how much are they willing to pay by, you know, money, time, effort, resources?
Mm-hmm. I see it just a little bit different. I think when you're delivering, in the delivery process, that's when you're getting the money part of it is coming in, because as you deliver, it should be flowing both ways at that point.
Right.
You shouldn't be delivering something that's not flowing back at you. If you are, then your business model's not working.
Yep.
So that intake isn't happening, because if you're, you know, I've been involved in many products that we put out there, and I was in retail, so when you shipped it out, you definitely delivered, and it was, if that inflow wasn't coming back, it was sitting out in inventory and shelf, you really, you could measure that you hadn't yet really delivered the value yet, and
so,
you could actually add it up.
I've been in those situations myself many a time. From what I'm hearing, when I look at these books, to me, it is the essence of product management. What are your thoughts around that?
Oh, I totally agree. I think that if you don't know your business model from the start, you'll never create the types of product that need to be created and delivered.
You
have to totally understand how you're going to deliver that product, and it will help you in the understanding of what your product is. I think that in the business generation book, business model generation book, they do a good job of showing you the changes between one business model to the next. Like, for instance, when they show you the book publishing, that's a pretty popular one to show people.
Mm-hmm.
And when they show that, they show, I think any product manager could look at that and say, okay, how can I shake up our organization and our preconceived understanding of our business model in the same type of way? Or how can I make sure that we do have a good business model?
Absolutely. You refer to two books, the Business Model Generation and the Business Model Renewal. What's the difference between both of those books? I'm not familiar with Linda's new Business Model Renewal book. And in essence, are they talking about the same thing?
Well, they're both talking about the same thing, about the importance of business models, and they both are taking it from the idea that business model is a disruptive model. When you get in there and you start to really tweak it, it's a disruptive process. But unlike the business model generation, which lays out how to do a business model, you know, it gives you the nine values that you follow. It's like I said, it's like more like a paint by number. It's sort of, you put your key customers here. You put your key partnerships here. You put the different models in place, and you answer those questions. Unlike that book, the business model renewal is more of a retrospective, looking at different business models from different perspectives, and gives you a lot of information, but you have to paint the picture yourself.
Right, I see. So they could possibly be used in tandem together.
I think they should be. I think they should be because, you know, while you can learn paint-by-number method,
yeah.
It's good to get the fundamentals down and learn old school, too. Not that it's very old school, but it certainly is more traditional book in its approach.
Right. And, look, business models are essential to any business. Otherwise, as you say, you know, fundamentally you don't have a business. Why is it now that we've just started to talk about it in relation to product management? What's been the change? What's been the driver? I mean, Linda's book initially talked about product development. I remember her first book. But why do you think we're focusing more now on business models?
Well, I think it has everything to do with the fact that product management is still learning what it is.
Right.
You know, you can't get the same answer from anybody when you ask what is product management, because so many people are self-taught in the field. And especially when I was back in 1998 when we started the AIPMM and I was a product manager, it really was a wild, wild west out there. I would talk to one person, ask them their definition of what product management was supposed to do, and then I'd ask somebody else, and it would always be from the perspective of how they had been trained, because no mm-hmm. one had a school that they could point to. They couldn't point back to a body of knowledge. They couldn't point to anything. So as people began to see, well, this discipline needs some focus, and we decided as the AIPMM to take a crack at that with the our ProdBoc and with our body that we created the certification under. It's been a long process for us. It's slow and growing, but we see it all the time. So I think as people start to look at what product management is, then they start to see, oh, these are all now things that go with it. And business model is very fundamental to that value creation.
Yeah, absolutely. You must have seen some huge changes from 1998 to 2012. We've just seen, you know, been around.
I've been a product manager since 90. I was a product manager, so it was, and realized that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
I've seen immense changes since 93.
Wow.
Just immense.
Yeah.
And it's amazing of the difference. It's good. It's good to see it because I'm seeing really positive things happening for the profession. I'm seeing a maturity start to occur, a lot more people, a lot more ideas, and it's kind of coming together. And certainly the openness of people to learn more and more is really important.
And, you know, it sounds like because you know, we could even say, because Linda's, you know, written this book, Business Model Renewal, it signifies the maturation of product management.
Yeah, I
think. Or am I too lofty? Can be at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no, that's. I think it can be. I think it is maturing very much, and it's amazing.
I think that this is one of the fundamental differences between product management and UX, for example. The fact that we, as product managers, focus on the business models, yeah. Whereas a UX designer or an information architect focuses more on the experience, but tends to not include that whole concept of business model, I guess. I guess it's just lots of discussion between, you know, the difference between product management and UX, and I think this is one of the main differences.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think around that?
I think designers and UX and the lots of development people, certainly in my career, have always felt that if you build this immensely beautiful and perfect product, you know, it doesn't matter what marketing does, you know, it's just going to come and the people are going to line up, and you know, there's that fantasy belief about that, that there's no convergence between the business model and the understanding of the market and the positioning and the all of the 7 P's and all those things that we take, you know, into account with product management. On the design side, they think, well, you just create. I've heard that so many times, and I used to hear things like, when we'd say, this isn't working for the market, and they'd say, well, you just have to educate the market.
Yes.
And, you know, we'd hear nice things like that. So there's a belief on the creative about all this. You know, I always used to give them the examples of like, basketball stars.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if they're really, really good. They have to know their fundamentals, and they have to follow a set of rules. They do follow plays, and they do follow, just allow the framework of the plays, allow them to be better at it, you know, but
yep.
They do have to know their fundamentals.
That's a really good example. That's a good example to tell people, because people do tend to forget the rules, or maybe they just don't even know the rules. I'll move on to question 3. How do you apply the different methods mentioned in these 2 books to your situation, or, you know, a product management sort of situation in a company?
Well, we use the business model canvas that's shown in the business model generator book, which has the 9 points, the nine quadrant. We definitely use that in a way to help write the business model. And then in our courses, we've taken that, we've modified it and made a business case canvas. And then we can take, you know, take that information, but anybody could do that, take that information and make their business case.
Yep.
So that the product manager can easily write their business case from putting it on the canvas and then taking it to our modification and then moving it into the business case. And they, if they answer those questions, they'll have a business case at the end of the process. So that's a key way to use it in product management.
Right.
Another way is to use it when you have a problem with a product. For instance, you want to tweak it in market. Well, you may go out and try a couple of different models. Like, for instance, you may try the free model. You know, you may try a free and trial model, and you may go to, for instance, the Netflix model. You may do what Netflix did to Blockbuster, change the business model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change it from distribution to where to locations, where it's picked up at locations, and put it out in the USPS. And get it to their homes directly. So that was an excellent way of tweaking a business model. So as a product marketing manager, you know, when you're going and looking at, well, what kinds of things can I do to revitalize my sales, look at the business model.
And you talked initially about testing some business models. How could we apply, or how could we test business models? Is there a way that we could, like A/B testing in a web environment? Is there some way that we could test business models before fully rolling it out?
You could. It depends on your market and your distribution. But you could play with different models on different distribution channels. You could, like I said, experiment with the free model in certain regions and or on a limited basis. You know, you can go in and try and tweak, like maybe have an exclusive offer, testing out a different model, like a plan that you have, you know, and see how it works. There's a number of ways that they can do it. It really will all depend on what their particular distribution channel is and what their particular model is at the time. So,
excellent. Do you have this concept in your product management body of knowledge?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. When we came upon this in the study of when we were going through and methodically trying to find all the different knowledge components for product managers, you know, finding out what it is they needed and when they needed things, et cetera. This is how we discovered the business model generation and looking at the customer tools, we were looking at Steve Blank's materials, and that's what led us down this path with the business model.
Right. Excellent. That's fantastic. Just out of interest, what else is in that body of knowledge?
Oh, it's huge. Right now, we're planning on getting it out by the end of this year. But what you'll find in it is we have everything from, you know, all the product management processes, so all your traditional things like gathering of requirements, et cetera. But we have brand management. We have the value creation team, such as the project managers and the business analysts. We brought in a rather large process. So that's how, like I said, this is how we came upon different areas of learning for the product manager, what they're doing in their jobs. And we do have some design in there, too. I know some product managers, particularly in application, when they have these apps, you know, especially smaller companies, small startups who are doing development, the product manager is very involved in UX and very much involved in the user experience. So we brought in some of that as well because it really, there is no one single way that people do things. So we try to make it as comprehensive as we could while keeping it under control too. Because it can, it's kind of like a spider web when you start looking at it, you know, it looks like it's contained, but then you start these massive areas where you can go off onto a trail and follow that trail on for hours and hours.
Absolutely. And I think it's folly to ignore, and I've heard lots of discussions that, you know, product managers shouldn't be involved in UX and design, but it would be, it's so difficult to separate both. And it would be folly to say that product management shouldn't be involved in some of the design aspects, especially depending on the products that you create. I mean, we do a lot of work in the web media publishing space, and we're heavily involved in UX as well.
Mm-hmm.
But and I just want to just, I know it's a little bit off topic, but just explore that a little bit more and just ask you, well, how in your process, in your method, how is the product manager involved in that UX design aspect? Are they just a key stakeholder, or are they providing input, or are they actually doing some of the design themselves?
It's usually just, as far as we took it, we only took it to the stakeholder providing input area. But I wouldn't poo-poo the fact that they could get involved in the design itself. You could have the instances in some companies where that's how they do it. I wouldn't say that was wrong. I would say that's absolutely valid way of adapting to their business environment.
Right. I like that concept, adapting to your business environment.
Well, they have to. And this is something about these two books. That's what these two books also are based on. In fact, on Linda's book, it really, even on the cover, it talks about defying best practices. Okay? So not following the best practices, not trying to follow what other people say, finding your way and adapting it to how you need to do it. So both of these books really push that storyline about not sticking with something that's not working for you.
Right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. We had a conversation with a very senior head of strategy in a media company, and her advice to us would be that product managers shouldn't be so wedded to their product, shouldn't be so wedded to status quo, and I guess sort of ignore the fact that the business and the products and the customers are changing around them. And I guess to me that suggests, you know, you've always got to be mindful and responsive to the changes in the environment and the situation.
One of the VPs I interviewed with back in the 90s, you know, I once worked at Symantec and then I left, and the company I was working for was bought by Symantec. So I ended up back there. But I wanted to transition out, but they were interviewing me anyways. And I interviewed with one VP, and I really admired her a lot. And she was saying to me, she said, I don't hire product managers who are passionate about the product. I hire product managers who are passionate about the process, because she felt that anybody anybody could learn to be passionate about a product. And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, she's right. You know, you can learn to love a product, but if you understand all the process that needs to happen, you understand the business, you know, she was really looking for somebody who was going to adapt things at the way they needed to adapt it, but not somebody who loved the product. That was not what she was looking for. Wasn't looking for it. Because she figured that could be learned.
That is a gem, what you've just said. And I think, you know, I've always talked about being passionate. And maybe I haven't been really clear, but you're right. It's about being passionate about product management and about the process of getting the right products to market as opposed to the product. If you're passionate about the process and product management, ultimately you'll love the product. But I guess you can't love it so much that you forget about what's good for it.
Exactly. And I think that was somewhat to her point about, you know, if you fall in love with the product, you may not see its flaws and you may not do your job as well as you should. But if you love the process and you love, you know, you love getting something done and you like doing it right, you know, if you like all of those things, then you and the product will go far. But she didn't really want them tied to a particular product. And the reason that was relevant was because when I was at Semantic, I was identified with my product. In fact, I had the name of my product. I was the nickname. I've been nicknamed. My product was the Norton antivirus, and you know, so the short name for it was NAV, and I was called the NAV Queen.
Oh my goodness!
I was identified with my product, and so I think in a way she was telling me, obviously I wasn't interviewing for my old product. And I wasn't even interested in it, but she was sort of saying that she didn't really want to see me be a cheerleader for my product and get nicknamed my product. So I took what she said to heart because I thought she's somebody I admired a lot, and I thought she knew what she was talking about. And I've seen it more and more as I went on, that people who just come into new products and they just love making things work. They learn those things. They really learn to love them.
Absolutely. And I think that's a real key lesson. I mean, we're talking business models, but I think that's a really key lesson to learn, to love the process instead of loving the product only.
Yeah. And that's when you can dispassionately look back and say, okay, we need to really examine our business model, or we really need to examine our user experience, or we really need to examine our delivery mechanisms, our channels. You know, you can look at it and say, are we doing it right and getting it right?
Just going back to the business model, at what point, I guess, in a new product development process, I mean, and I use that in inverted commas because everyone calls it something different, should the product manager consider the business model? You know, up front, initially, during, you know, when you're creating the ideas, where do you think that concept of business model should be generated? At what point?
Well, it should be in the beginning stages, obviously.
Yeah.
But you can always, there's never a time when you can't use it, where you can't do corrective action. You can take a lot of corrective action afterwards, and sometimes you might be forced to taking corrective action when it's out in the market and you go, okay, this thing is failing, what's going on? And you can examine everything from product itself to the business model to, like, for instance, there's a company that I won't get into the specifics of the company, but their business model was to go after enterprise companies. Said, you know, you really ought to look at yourself as kind of a bridge, like more like a sales force, which goes after an individual as well as the enterprise, but it goes all the way in between as well. So that's a change of a business model. That's, instead of focusing only on one large big fish, maybe find a way to go after the medium fish in the water while you have a dedicated area going after the big fishes. You could do both. Maybe there's a way you can do both. You know?
Absolutely.
So the answer to your question is ideal at the conceive phase to do that. Then you could do all your testing at the time, at the same time that You know, the prototypes are being tested. You could be testing out your theories on the business model, what you're going to do with it and how you're going to end it, et cetera, and seeing if it's a right fit for the company, et cetera. That you can be doing simultaneously. But if you have to, you can always do it later.
Yeah. And you continually test it while it's in market as well.
You're getting real-time feedback then. You know how your sales are performing. I mean, there's a lot of things you're doing when it's in market. Then it may be doing well, but it could possibly be underperforming. And by all measurements, it's doing well, but you say, you know, it's still underperforming.
And so what I'm hearing is that when the product goes to market, instead of only testing and making sure that the product features are what the customers want, you're also saying make sure that you continually test your business model to make sure that it appeals to the right market.
Right. Because, you know, you may have this great product, but it's not you're not using it right. Like I said, you may go to the free model. You know, maybe you need to get it in more people's hands. Maybe you need to be more like MySQL or something like that, where you sell services, et cetera. Maybe your model is like the razor blade business, right?
Yeah.
Or give them the razor free and sell them the blades, type of thing.
Yeah, the printer model.
Exactly.
Printed extremely expensive ink.
Exactly. That free printer model was kind of an interesting one, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that we, again, you know, we're so caught up in feature and testing the features and making incremental changes to features, but we sometimes forget to go back and really examine that business model and ask, you know, are there other ways to extract value?
When people ask me, what's the difference between a product manager and a product marketing manager?
Right.
I simply say, okay, how do they answer this question? Okay, the question is, there's a problem with sales in the market. Okay,
yeah.
How are you going to fix it? The product manager looks for new features. The product marketing manager looks for new channels or business models. So those are the differences to me. It's how you look to solve the problem of not enough sales, because product managers tend to want to put in more features.
Yeah.
They think that's the solution. And product marketing managers or people who are market focused tend to look at business model, channel distribution, pricing, things that can be, like you said, and taking corrective action in the field.
Yeah. Just going back, you mentioned the word channels and business models. I mean, are they one and the same? Are they?
No. The channels, they can be. I mean, what your business model is can decide how your channels are. But if you have a free distribution model, you know, you're probably not going to have a very wide distribution. You're probably going to have a very local distribution channel, like a website.
Yeah.
But let's say your business model is a retail model, and so you go through your distribution channel. Is the book publishing model. It's been very, very disrupted over the years. Both Linda Gorshals and the business model generation tackle that one. Instead of the typical distribution channel, which was a writer writes a book and sends it to the publisher, the publisher rejects it. They send it to 15 others until they get a yes. And finally the publisher that publishes it then has its distribution. It decides how many copies are going to be. And what's happened now is you write a book. You don't bother sending it to a big company. You print it yourself.
Yeah.
And then the distribution channel you pick will put you going only through the Amazon distribution or Amazon Plus, and you go through all the normal booksellers. And it's triggered by how many sales you have, how it's purchased. So you've now cut out that rejects letter. You've cut that out altogether, and you've cut out the big guy out of the picture. You've gone direct through the channels yourself.
I completely understand, but how? And I guess I'm trying to. So when you're looking and examining your business model, you know, what do you talk about price and channel. Is that all you take into account, or is there more?
Oh, no. There's 9 areas, particularly in the business model generator.
Yep.
There's 9 areas that you're looking at. You're looking at your customer segments.
Yep.
Looking at your value proposition.
Yep.
You're looking at your channels.
Yep.
You're looking at your customer relationships, those things that you're established and maintained within each customer segment. You're looking at different revenue streams, how that model is going to bring in different streams.
Mm-hmm.
Key resources, you know, those things that are going to offer different elements of your business model.
Yeah.
Key activities you're going to look at. You're going to look at, you know, what things you have to do to supply that particular business model. And then your key partnerships. That's, you know, those sometimes can make or break you. You know, if you have a good relationship with a partner that's, for instance, like if you go into the self-publishing business, well, you have your key partnership is with Amazon or or Ingram Micro or one of those. You're going through Lightning Source or you're going through those. And that's your key partnership, and that relationship is very important to you.
Right.
You know, you're going to identify your key partners and how that key partnership is going to go. And then, you know, the cost structure. You know, you're going to finally look at, based on what you're trying to do, how is that cost structure going to be looking at? So you're looking at a lot of different areas in order to come up with what it is deciding to how you're finally going to deliver that to the customer.
And so as a product marketer, you've got 9 levers essentially to tweak to make sure that your product or the product delivers the most value for the business.
Right.
That's quite a lot of work.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Is that all the role of the product marketer, or does the product manager do some of that as well?
Oh, no, the product manager can do that as well. I mean, it depends on the trade-off. That's the other thing, you know. It depends on the company and how they're used, how they see their product managers. You know, if they see them as co-managers, you know, sort of running a lot of different projects embedded with the program manager or and then they hand it off to the product marketing manager. It depends on how the company is structured. In smaller companies, it's a lot easier. You know, it's usually one person or two people.
Yeah.
And you're pretty clear, you know, all this has to get done. The division of tasks is pretty clear.
Right. Yeah. I've got something on the Twitter stream that says, someone said, I think a good product enables company to implement and maintain its business model. What do you think of that statement?
If I understand, they're saying that the company has enabled, they have all the levers in place for them to keep things moving along. Is that correct?
I'm not quite sure. I guess that's just one statement. I think you need, personally, I think you need both. I think fundamentally you need a good product, but I think it's not necessarily all about the product. I think the business model, I think you can tweak the business model and drive the product further.
I guess I misunderstood, because no, I would never think that the product is the key. The product is only one part of it. Because a lot of times you might have a great product, but you have terrible customer service that will drive your customers away. And you won't know whether it's your product or not. I mean, the great product will not keep bad customer service. And that's a part of your value, you know, the value of what you're offering, right?
Yeah.
You can't separate that from the
product. No, I agree. Absolutely.
So you can't separate your business model from your product either. But I thought they were saying that if the company has good product enablement, that they have or good business model delivery. I misunderstood that. So,
yeah, if the person on Twitter could elaborate, that would be awesome. Is there anything else you like to highlight about the books and about, you know, what product managers should take out of the books? And another question, now that we've sort of established that business models are fundamental to product management, what's the next thing? I mean, we've said that as product management's matured, we've looked at better product development processes, we've looked at business models. What's the next thing for us? There's so many questions in that. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I think the embedding of yourself into the product, into the customer experience, is the next area to look at. We do that with ethnographies and, you know, market research. I think that's the next area where we've taken another departure from other product management thought leaders, where we brought in an anthropologist. We have an anthropologist. We look at ethnography. We look at, you know, because one of the things that, you know, we got out of it, and there's a paper on our website about this, is product managers describe the ideal, but when you observe them, what is reality happening in their environment? So, and that what I'm saying there is that people like to think that they're doing a job a particular way, but because they have this ideal in their head how it should be. But in actuality, they're actually doing it another way completely. They're completely doing the opposite.
Yeah.
So that's the next area where we are investigating, because that really answers a lot of questions about the customer and the customer use of your product and how to deliver the right product to answer those questions, right? And what do I want people to take away from about these books is, number one, they should have it on their shelf, both of these. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend that if you have a Kindle, well, even if you don't, you can buy the Kindle version and read it on your desktop. I mean, Kindle's on everything. It's really great to have the Linda Gorsuch book on Kindle, because this book is written in the way books are going to be written in the future, with a lot of interactive content. It's really frustrating to have to type in every URL, because there's a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of different discussions and documents and things. So I highly recommend getting the Kindle version so you can just click on those links while you're reading it. That one. The other one, the business model generation, isn't an ebook format except for the 70 pages that you can get that we've made available. But it does have iPad app that you can actually use the Canvas. So
yes.
It's driving iPad sales, I think. But
yeah, no, absolutely.
It's a great little tool those are the two things. I mean, these are cool books to have. There's an electronic component to them that really enhances the book and makes it, and I really think that Canvas makes it easier to build business models and answer those questions. And in that answering of the questions, you can also do some discovery around your product too.
Absolutely. So just touching very quickly, it sounds like the product manager is this super sort of person that can, you know, look at the market, figure out the business model, deep dive into the customer experience. Is that perhaps too much for one function within the business to perform?
If they're used wisely, then yeah, it's not too much. If they're used as trusted advisors and they're used as people with an understanding of the market and the products and the ability to put those two things together, then, you know, then the magic happens.
Yeah, we need a bit of magic.
If the person is a gopher or somebody who really has to put out a lot of documentation and a lot of reports to justify, you know, then they need to narrow their scope down. They need to not tackle these other areas.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible. There is an inclination to try to contract the role when you have so much to do. But we're not advocating for, you know, giving them everything. I'm saying if it's used properly, you could get involved in these areas.
Right. And if it's used properly, from what I can hear, if product management is used properly, essentially we become this trusted advisor for the product and the market.
Right. But, yeah, it really all depends. I mean, I worked in places where I just wanted to contract my role down because it was just, I was just being the sales associate, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, then I don't want to have to do all this.
And we all know that sales and product management just don't mix. I'll probably slap for that online somewhere.
that opens up a whole other discussion, Adrian. As a matter of fact, we're coming up on a year since we started broadcasting our discussions, and our first discussion was about sales and product management. I believe it was 51 podcasts ago. So you can listen to it. It's out on iTunes, and it's also on our Product Management Talk app. Thank you very much to Therese Padilla for discussing these two books and talking about a lot of insights that I didn't know. I got the spelling corrections. Thank you. And thank you, Adrian.
My pleasure. I had fun. I always have fun.
Yeah, this is great. This is really good.
This is Cindy F. Solomon. Thank you for joining us for our weekly Global Product Management Talk. Please visit our website at www.prodmgmttalk.com. to find out what we are discussing next week and what the time is. If you follow us at blogtalkradio.com/prodmgmttalk, you will see all of our podcasts that you can listen to, and you will get reminders of what's coming up. Again, thank you to our sponsor, the AIPMN, for bringing the weekly talk to you this week. And please join in. There are two very exciting webinars coming up on Wednesday, June 27th, Why Innovation Leadership is Essential to Ignite Your Company's Growth. And on Friday, June 29th, The Five Factors That Drive High-Performance Product Teams. You can view them at AIPMN.com/AIPMN_webinars. And a shout-out to this past weekend, Product Camp Dallas-Fort Worth took place. You can read the archives of the content at storify.com/AIPMM and find out about product events and product camps coming up. Check out the global map of product camps at our website, Product Management Talk, under Product Events. Thank you again, Adrian and Therese. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks again, and have a great week.
Thanks. Bye, guys. Nice chatting.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.